Chat room and on the phone to In the Studio with your girl Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network, where we discuss hot topics, news of the day, tackling hard subject matter. We may not always be on the same page, y'all, or in agreement. That's what makes this show special. You're entitled to agree or disagree. Isn't that wonderful? Keep an open mind and continue to think outside of the box. As a close friend told me, The Truth is a Lie, which is also a book by that title, author is Harry Pitsanis, very good book too. Please join us in the chat room with your opinions or call us on the show phone, 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. And be sure to push 1 so you can get in the queue, or if not, just to listen to the show. Our website is www.theessenceofsuccess.net. If there is a subject that you would like to see discussed, well, contact us on the website and leave a message or a comment. We are here to empower and to make you think. We don't have all the answers, but we will find the questions to be answered and understood. So thank you for supporting and listening to the show. Our hope that each show will give you food for thought. As they say, something to think about and discuss around the water cooler, huh? Let them jaws get the flapping come tomorrow. So anyway, tonight's show is hot. I tell you, I thought about our girl, Wendy Williams. How you doing? I'm telling you, this is hot topics, okay? I'm starting to show off with my girl, Chrissy Teigen. Okay, you know who Chrissy Teigen is, the one that's married to... Oh, my God, I can't even think of her husband's name. How can you be that way? I can't believe I just said that. I can't think of her husband's name. John Legend. Married to John Legend. I believe they got 2 kids. But anyway, Trump said something out the left side of his mouth. So anyway, let's get into it and find out what's going on, y'all. So Chrissy opened up about what it's like to be in a Twitter fight with the President of the United States. We all just wait for our day to come, and mine happened to be Sunday, Chrissy said, referencing President Trump calling her a filthy mouth on Twitter. My heart stopped because at that moment you know that you're about to get just the wildest group of people ever. She says of the online trolls, it was a weird feeling. I was really angry. I think my eyes filled up with water just at the shock of it. I can't believe this really happened right now. She goes on to explain that her husband, John Legend, was involved in a MSNBC interview about criminal justice reform, which Kagan was unaware of at the time. She believes President Trump thought Legend was taking all the credit for criminal justice reform, which led to his tweet. Quote, unquote, Donald Trump, a man named Van Jones, 68, and many others were profusely grateful at that time I signed it into law. No one else did, and Republicans deserve much credit. But now that it is passed, people that had virtually nothing to do with it are taking the praise. Guys like Boring. Musician John Legend and his filthy-mouthed wife are talking now about how great it is, but I didn't see them around when we needed help getting it passed. Doesn't even bring up the subject of President Trump or the Republicans when talking about it. Quote, unquote, guys like Boring musician John Legend and his filthy-mouthed wife are talking about how great it is. President Trump tweeted on Sunday referencing criminal justice reform, but I didn't see them around when we needed help getting it passed. As for the tweet, Kagan jokes it was fair. Those two things are true. John is boring. I do have a filthy mouth. She agrees. Despite her initial shock, the lip sync battle host admits that the feud isn't all that surprising. This wasn't that random. I've said a lot of things in the past. I think since, like, 2012. I've been saying things about him, she says. Kagan has been blocked on Twitter by President Trump, so she found out because of tweets from screenshots from friends. When the card lands on you that day, it's like, oh, crap. Because your whole night's ruined, she admits. We spent the entire rest of the night just sitting next to each other, handling each other our phones. Should I say this? No. Should I say this? No. It has to be funnier. No, we're mad. Yeah, we're mad. Kagan ended up calling President Trump a pussy-ass bitch, which ended up trending on Twitter. We're still working on how to copyright that right term, she jokes. Though her recent tweet might not reflect this, Kagan insists that she's been making an effort to clean up her act online lately. I've gotten to this point where I don't want to offend people just for a joke, she says. That's all right, Chrissy. You brought the bacon home, honey. Somebody stood up to his narcissistic, deranged ass. Okay, next one. Y'all, I just, you know what? The karma chief of NOAA wants to fire some top employees, okay? Listen to this. I want you to listen to this story. The Secretary of Commerce threatened to fire top employees of the Federal Scientific Agency responsible for weather forecasts last Friday after the agency's Birmingham office contradicted the President Trump's claim that Hurricane Dorian might hit Alabama, according to three people familiar with the discussion. That threat led to an unusual unsigned statement later that Friday by the agency, the National Oceanic and Atmosphere Administration, disavowing the National Weather Service's position that Alabama was not at risk. Did you hear me? Disavowing the National Weather Service's position that Alabama was not at risk. The reversal caused widespread anger within the agency and drew accusations from the scientific community. Yeah, think, motherfuckers, that the National Weather Service, which is part of NOAA, has been bent to political purposes? Really? NOAA's statement on Friday is now being examined by the Commerce Department's Officer of Inspector General. According to documents reviewed by the New York Times, and employees have been asked to preserve their files. NOAA is a division of the Commerce Department. The National Weather Service must maintain standards of scientific integrity. The Inspector General, Peggy E. Gustafson, wrote in a message message to NOAA staff members in which she requested documents relating to Friday's statement. The circumstances, she wrote, called into question the NW's process, scientific independence, and ability to communicate accurate and timely weather warnings and data to the nation in times of national emergency, which the National Weather Service of Alabama did because dumbass made a mistake that it was going to Florida, not Alabama. And so they wanted to let their citizenship know not to be worried or scared or start to panic. It's not Alabama, it's Florida. You're fine. The president made a mistake. And now you're telling them to retract that when they were ahead of emergency services and everybody, letting people know before they start hearing it from neighbor to neighbor or on the radio or in the newspaper that they got it straight from the National Weather Bureau in Birmingham, Alabama. And you're saying that they have to redact that, retract that? Fuck all y'all. You know damn well Trump said it first and he lied. You know he lied because his dumb ass didn't know what he was talking about. And now you want to fire people at NOAA for making the correct statements, for telling the truth, standing in their truth and reporting to the citizens of that community, that city? Wow. NOAA, you can kiss my grits, okay? I have no respect for you, Commerce Chief, or NOAA, that you would bend for political benefit. I swear. I am just truly, truly surprised. Okay, well, from that quick story, I know y'all probably already heard about Robert Mugabe. You know, he died in 95. Former Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe, one of the most ruthless and murderous tyrants of modern times, has died at age 95. Emmerson Nambuzu Mnangagwa, the current president of the African Republic, confirmed the death of the brutal ex-dictator who had a reign of terror lasting nearly 40 years. Mugabe was championed as a liberation hero and advocate of racial reconciliation when he came to power following almost a century of white colonial rule. Evidently, their rule really rubbed off on your ass. But his savage rule over the former British colony was dominated by murder, bloodshed, torture, persecution of political opponents, intimidation, and vote rigging on a grand scale. His death in a Singapore hospital where he had been since April of this year was celebrated by those who suffered under the strongman's oppressive regime, while his ardent supporters, including his successor, hailed him as a founding father. Mugabe first became Prime Minister of Zimbabwe in 1980. Serving in that role until 1987, when the government amended the constitution that he was declared president and commander-in-chief of the armed forces. It gave him the power to dissolve parliament, declare martial law, and run for as many terms as he wanted, okay? But he was ousted from power, y'all, in November 2017 in a coup d'etat after the military put him under house arrest amid fears he would put his wife, Grace, in power. Robert Mugabe rose to power as leader of the Zimbabwe African National Union, who fought a war against white minority rule in what was then called Rhodesia. The militants won the war in 1979, achieving universal suffrage and paving the way for Mugabe's victory in the 1980 general election. The dictator gained a reputation for violence over the next two decades and made international headlines when he requisitioned white farmers' land and gave it to black residents. This redistribution policy led to a mass exodus of the white population, throwing the country into an economic crisis. The tyrant was eventually ousted from power in 2017, 2 years ago, after widespread protests and a military takeover. He is thought to have been receiving medical treatment in Singapore at the time of his death. Controversial Mugabe was accused of vote rigging, intimidation, and embezzlement before being booted from power in 2017 after a military coup. However, the Zimbabwe leader was given the royal treatment on his state visit to the UK 25 years ago, including a carriage ride with the Queen and a lavish banquet. The invitation was extended despite his reported involvement in the deaths of 10,000 people during a crackdown of opposition parties. In 2017, Mugabe was controversially granted immunity from prosecution with cast iron assurances that his safety would be protected in his home country as part of the deal that led to his resignation. Ain't that something? Boy, I tell y'all, as I live and breathe, okay? As I live and breathe. Okay, now when I come back, we're going to come back with some good stuff. I'm going to tell you about a mom and her two beautiful daughters that own 13 McDonald's. Yeah, you heard me. 13 McDonald franchises. Better ask somebody. All right, we'll be back shortly. Don't go nowhere because it's going to get even better and better. Welcome back. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. Welcome around the world in the chat room and on the phone. The phone number to the show is 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. And the chat room is open, so please, you're welcome to go in and enjoy the crowd. There you go. Okay, now our next article coming up in story is about this mom and her two daughters that own 13, yes, you heard me right, 13 McDonald's franchises, okay? I am just so proud of these women. Do you hear me? What an honor and a privilege it is for me to report such greatness, okay? I am just beside myself. Patricia Williams and her daughter, Nicole, and Carrie have built an empire of McDonald's franchises in Los Angeles, California. Together, they employ more than 700 people in the community and generate an annual revenue worth almost $50 million. In April 2017, they opened their 13th outlet for the franchise. Patricia was inspired by her relatives who own franchises of McDonald's, and so she also started, and today she has reached a whopping 13 outlets of the franchise. 30 years ago, she was working as a rehabilitation therapist, and her husband was a policeman in the LAPD. But then the couple decided to cash out their retirement plans and take a small business loan to enter the business of fast food. They opened their first outlet in the year 1984. According to them, it was not so easy as to become an owner. You got to spend some time in the McDonald's as an employee and get the required training and attend the classes. It was a three-year program, and she had two daughters to look after, but she says that it was the right thing at the right moment, and she went ahead with the training program. That's what you call stepping out on faith. Okay, we walk by faith, not by sight. She practically jumped at the opportunity, y'all. So because the brand was growing in popularity in the 1980s, the first outlet of theirs became an instant hit, and soon they were planning for the second store. Thank you, ladies, for your empowerment for all women. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. I am just so proud of you. Oh, and I'm telling you, Mama looks good. You hear me? I know that them two daughters are helping her take care of business because she looks good. I am just so honored to bring that story to you. Yes, just beautiful. Let me check to see if I got any calls. Okay. No, everything is clear. Alrighty. Oh, welcome, Monica and Medina to the chat room. Okay. All right, so let's get back. So the next story, let's talk about, I want to do this story on slavery. Yeah, this is good to talk about, talking about slavery and visitors not. So conversations, honest talk about slavery seems to have put some folks off from visiting certain historical sites. At Monticello, George Washington, Mount Vernon, and other plantations across the South, an effort is underway to deal more honestly with the brutal institution that the founding fathers relied on to build their homes and their wealth, slavery. 400 years after the first enslaved African arrived in the English colony of Virginia, some sites are also connected that ugly past to modern-day racism and inequality. A Monticello tour guide was explaining how enslaved people built, planted, and tended a terrace of vegetables at Thomas Jefferson Estate early in this summer when a woman interrupted to sheer annoyance. Ooh, y'all, excuse me. Let me get a... Ooh, I must have got stirred up. Let me get a drink of water here. Okay, I'm back now. Good lad. Okay, so let me go back. So a Monticello tour guide was explaining how enslaved people built, planted, and tended a terrace of vegetables at Thomas Jefferson's estate earlier this summer, when a woman interrupted to share her annoyance. "Why are you talking about that?" she demanded. According to Gary Sandling, vice president of Monticello Visitors Program and Services, "You should be talking about the plants. The changes have begun to draw people long alienated by the site's whitewashing of the past and to satisfy what staff call a hunger for real history as plantations have slavery-focused tours, rebuild cabins, reconstruct the lives of the enslaved with help from their descendants." By the way, there's a picture of the inside of one of the cabinets on the website on this story, so please go in and check it out. It's quite interesting. But some visitors who remain overwhelmingly white are pushing back, and the very mention of slavery and its impacts on the United States can bring accusations of playing politics. "We are at a very polarized, partisan political moment in our country, and not surprisingly, when we are in those moments, history becomes equally polarized. The backlash is reflected in some online reviews of plantations, including McLeod in Charleston, South Carolina, where one visitor complained earlier this summer that she didn't come to hear a lecture on how the white people treated slaves. The review sparked shock as it made rounds on the internet, but stories of guest discomfort are familiar to many on the front lines at historical sites steeped in slavery. The tour guides, reenactors, and other staff with an up-close view of how Americans think and talk about a shameful past. There was a time when visitors would not have heard the word slave in this house," Dave Ronka said early on in a 105-minute dive into the lives of the best-known enslaved family at Monticello, the Hemings. "Visitors might have heard reference to Mr. Jefferson's people," said the veteran guide, "or maybe the souls of his family," a phrase from the author of the Declaration of Independence, who owned more than 600 enslaved people over his lifetime. Now Monticello guides call interpreters tell their nearly 500,000 visitors a year about an enslaved people. Slave is a noun, Ronka said, as other tour groups' footsteps shuffle overhead. "Enslaved is a condition," he added, "a way to talk about people defined by more than their bondage. We've been waiting, you know, for the story of this amount of truth about the past," said Naya Bates, Monticello's director of African American history. "The truth came gradually, starting in the 1990s when an effort to gather oral histories and a tour on slavery. Last year, Monticello opened a room once home to Sally Hemings, amid growing evidence that Jefferson fathered her children. Interpreters talk about what Ronka calls the central irony of the nation's third president, who said he hated slavery, at some point advocating against it, but freed just 7 of the hundreds of men and women he owned. And that is the rest of the story. Okay, now, let's go down. We'll do a little bit about Antonio Brown. And then, and then we're definitely going to go to the NFL and then the sorrows. Okay, Antonio Brown, bruh, please. Antonio Brown, the New England Patriots' new wide receiver, is accused of sexual assault by a former trainer in a federal lawsuit. The lawsuit alleges that Brown, 31 years old, sexually assaulted Brittany Taylor, 28, twice 2 years ago in June 2017, the month he hired her, and then again in May in 2018. An attorney for Brown denied all accusations. Okay. First off, if he assaulted you in 2017 in June, why did you go back a year later, Brittany? If he already assaulted you in 2017, why would you go back? I'm not saying he was justified for what he did. No man is justified assaulting a woman. But it's just the point, why would you put yourself back in harm's way You know what I mean? You saw the red flag and you experienced it for yourself. Why didn't you stay the fuck away from that fool? But anyway, whatever. Sidebar. Antonio Brown, you have let your mouth bounce checks and balance over the place, all over the place. Wonder what else will come out true or false, because I'm not saying it's true, but I want you to understand karma is a bitch, and how you serving, brother, how you serving, okay? Let's think about that. Okay, so before we go to the Soros story, oh, well, wait, before we go to Soros, I know, let's take a quick break. Yeah, I'm being talked to. We're going to take a quick break, come right back, and we'll do the NFL the second week, see what's going on, okay? You know we got to play catch-up and see what's happening. I didn't say anything about the first week, so we'll catch up on the second week. So we'll be back real quick. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. Welcome back. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. Again, welcome around the world in the chat room or on the phone. The phone number again is 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. Be sure and push one to get in the queue, or if you just want to listen on air, that's fine. Okay, we're going into the NFL. This is week two, yeah, the regular season now. We're through, yeah, because September, we're through with the preseason. So anyway, let me just say this off the bat. In Los Angeles, the Rams will host the New Orleans Saints in a rematch of last year's controversial NFC Championship game. Will the NFL find a way to screw this shit up again? Okay, I'm just saying. Okay. All right, so let's go to the top news this week in the NFL, second week. Antonio Brown makes his Patriots debut. Let's start with the obvious one. He has signed with the Patriots, and he left. He had an abrupt release from the Oakland Raiders. We all know that. So couldn't come at a better time for the embattled receiver from New England taking on the laughingstocks that are the Miami Dolphins. The focus is obviously going to be on Brown's off-field issues. A woman just recently filed a lawsuit against a star receiver claiming multiple instances of sexual assault. I mean, whoa. Did he have your ass locked up in a room? I mean, does he know R. Kelly? I'm just saying. I'm trying to understand here. He must have had you locked away claiming multiple instances. Whew, you might have a good suit. Hope he won't keep going back. Whether that plays a role or not in Brown suiting up Sunday remains to be seen. I believe the brother is skating on this one. He bit the bullet on this one. I think he's going to get by on this one. The NFL is investigating said incident, which could lead to some news ahead of this weekend's action. I doubt it. Steelers are looking to prove last week was a fluke. You think? We go full circle here. Speaking of Browns, his former Steelers team looked like the shell of its former self Sunday night against the Patriots. Ben Roethlisberger, I can't stand your ass, was absolutely atrocious under center. Pittsburgh receivers dropped way too many passes. The game's plan was out of whack in every possible way. Yippee! Excuse me. It was to a 33-3 trouncing at the hands of the Pats, okay? It's not ridiculous to wonder whether the Steelers missed Brown's present. Juju Smith just to put up his numbers, but there wasn't a whole lot behind him. All of this is going to be tested come Sunday against Seattle Seahawks, which you're going to lose. Sorry, guys, it's just going to happen. That wants to be round after a horrible week. Week one performance and a narrow win over Cincinnati Bengals, yeah, by 1 point. Come on, Seahawks. You know I love you. You're my team. You mean everything to me. Anyway, so the next one up is Green Bay. It was somewhat surprising to see Green Bay rely more on its defense than Aaron Rodgers and company in week one win over the Chicago Bears. Now, new pass rushers Darius Smith and Preston Smith showed out big time, putting consistent pressure on Mitchell Trubisky in the process. Meanwhile, Green Bay's offense struggled big time. That was especially true in pass protection with Rodgers being sacked 5 times. Okay, what y'all doing? Enter into the equation a Viking defense that put tremendous pressure on Matt Ryan and the Falcons last week. It's a big matchup. The backdrop to this game is also interesting in that Kirk Cousins attempted a total of 10 passes in a blowout win over Atlanta. Could we be in for a rare defensive struggle between these two longtime NFC rivals, huh? Well, let's get on to Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott looked like a changed quarterback in Moore's debut, calling plays for Dallas. Less than 2 years removed from retiring, the 30-year-old Moore is now seen as an up-and-coming coach around the NFL. The design he drew up against a bad New York Giants defense in week one was nothing short of eye-opening, okay? We're highly intrigued to see how this translates against a better Redskins defense. Specifically, is Prescott going to have all day to throw the ball like he did last week? Is the mid-directions Misdirections and throwing receivers open that led to sustained success against New York. This will be a bit more difficult against what is a darn good Redskins front seven in week two. Is Moore up for the task, or can we expect some natural regression here? Huh? Somebody talk to me. Wake-up calls, that's the best way to describe the Browns, 43-13, drubbing at the hands of the Tennessee Titans last week. Head coach Freddie Kitchens might be looking to remain positive, but there's a whole heck of a lot of Cleveland needs work before it takes to the field Monday night against the Jets in New Jersey. And you know what, Cleveland, I pulled for y'all last year. I swear I did. Lofty expectations were quickly replaced by reality last week. Cleveland lost the turnover battle by three, with Baker Mayfield accounting for all three giveaways. The team was penalized 18 times for 182 yards, y'all. Its defense gave up a big play after big play. Another horrible performance in front of a national television audience could set into motion the very same downward spiral we've seen from the Browns pretty much every season since their last playoff appearance back in 2002. Okay, it's by now well known the drama that has created around the NFL had a bad non-call in the NFC Championship game between the Los Angeles Rams and the New Orleans Saints last January. It led to multiple lawsuits off the field and the league changing its instant replay rules. Needless to say, Saint fans are still not over being stripped of Super Bowl appearance. Well, welcome to our world. How do you think our Seahawks felt? How do you think we felt? Thank you very much. Sunday, I ain't talking about when we shouldn't have threw the game. I'm talking about before. Sunday's afternoon game in Los Angeles is going to be big for the NFL. The league needs to show that the same issue we saw pop up in New Orleans earlier this year does not rear its ugly head again. Hello, somebody. There's a reason the NFL didn't schedule this championship game rematch on prime time. You ain't stupid. It wants to hide the drama. But we are all going to be focused on what goes down in Southern California. All right. There's really no way to go about it. Falcons head coach Dan Quinn is squarely on the hot seat following a blowout road loss to the Minnesota Vikings in week one, coming off a surprising non-playoff 2018 campaign. It seems like the Falcons have regressed a great deal. They are no longer Super Bowl contenders. In fact, Atlanta has to be seen as a middle-of-the-pack team in the NFC. At least that's the narrative being thrown around right now. Taking on Philadelphia Eagles at home on Sunday Night Football, Atlanta has an opportunity to throw this narrative out the window. Can Matt Ryan rebound from a horrible season opener? Will the Falcons defense find a way to stop the run after being gutted by Minnesota in week one? How these questions are answered will not only tell us about the Falcons moving forward this season, but Quinn's viability as their head coach over the short term. The Miami Dolphins are not a barometer of things to come for these Ravens as they navigate through the 2019 season. Even then, Lamar Jackson and company were on absolute fire in South Beach last week. Here's a unit that put up 644 total yards, 59 points, and 31 first downs. The Ravens could have dropped a cool 70 on Miami if they had not pulled their starters. Woohoo! Set to take on the Arizona Cardinals, watch yourself now. And their home opener on Sunday. I got to go for my Arizona Cardinals too, because I'm moving there. The Ravens have yet another opportunity against a below average defense. Sure, Arizona played well on that side of the ball against the Lions, but this is an entirely new ball game. Will Jackson and rookie receiver Marquise Brown continue to connect at a record pace? Will there be some regression here? We're interested to see how things are going to unfold in week two. All right. It's not brain surgery. Invest on the offensive line and see your quarterback protected at a greater clip. Two teams in Northern California, the Raiders and 49ers, are prime examples of this. After exhausting high draft picks and cash on their lines over the past 2 years, the likes of Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, were hit a combined one time in week one, once. Unfortunately for other quarterbacks, that's just not the case. After being sacked 62 times and hit 126 times last season, damn, Deshaun Watson found himself sacked 6 times in week one. How will Laremy Tunsil and company hold up in week two against the Jaguars? We're also worried about the health of Panthers quarterback Cam Newton after he was hit 7 times last week. Damn. Can Carolina's offense line hold up against a weak Buccaneers pass rusher in week two? It might be getting to the point where the Chargers simply look to move on from this holdout running back and, you know, Melvin Gordon. And the drama he's brought to the table, that's magnified after what we saw from backup running back Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson in Los Angeles. Week one win over the Indianapolis Colts. This duo combined for 215 yards, y'all, and 3 touchdowns on 25 touches. That's about as good as it gets. Should the Chargers have similar success on the road against a stout Detroit Lions run defense Sunday? It could very well expedite Gordon's departure from Southern California. In fact, the Chargers might very well lower their asking price for the 2-time Pro Bowler. Is something to keep an eye on. Down 16-0 the second half against the New York Jets last week. The Bills seemed to be at an absolute loss. Josh Allen was struggling passing the ball. The progression was expected heading into the second season wasn't there. That's when Buffalo flipped the switch in a way we have not seen from this team since the Mary Levy, Jim Kelly days. Allen turned it around. Buffalo's defense was dominant in the second half. It led to a shocking 17-16 comeback win. Hello, somebody. Buffalo now has an opportunity to start 2-0 for the first time since 2014 and just the third time this decade. It comes against a Giants team that was manhandled by the Dallas Cowboys last week. A convincing win in Jersey for the second consecutive game to open the season could ultimately be a harbinger of things to come for this up-and-coming squad. And that is your top stories for NFL for week two. You know what, you guys, and I forgot to do the stats for you. Let me see if I can get them up real quick. Because I always get one or two calls from you guys. Are you going to do the stats? Are you going to, you know, give scores? So anyway. Oh, yeah. Let me do the MLB scores and then we'll go to the NFL. Okay, right now. Top of the eighth, Atlanta 3, Philadelphia 1. We got one out. Bottom of the eighth, we got L.A. Dodgers 2, Baltimore 7 with 2 outs. End of the seventh, we've got Arizona 0, New York Mets 9 with 0 outs. Bottom of the eighth, we got Milwaukee 5, Miami 5. They are tied up with 2 outs at the bottom of the eighth. WSH is Washington 5, Minnesota 2, top of the 7th, no outs. Top of the 3rd, we got Tampa Bay 7 and Texas 7. You guys, they're tied up. 7 all, and they're just in the top of the 3rd with 1 out. Okay, top of the 5th, we got Cleveland 4, LA, Los Angeles Angels 1. So right now, Cleveland is leading with 2 outs, top of the 5th. Top of the 6th, we got Oakland 4, Houston 2 with 0 outs. And our last team is Steelers 1 and COL Colorado, I don't know, 0. And they're at the bottom of the 4th with 1 out. And those are your MLB scores. How about that? Okay. All right, let me give you the NFL standings. So if I don't get to Soros, I'll get to it next week. How's that, you guys? Okay, in the American Football League Conquerors, we got Buffalo in first place. In fact, Buffalo and England Patriots are both in first place right now. And you know what? Buffalo Bills has a better stats than New England. Hello? All righty. So anyway, AFC East, we got Buffalo and New England in first place. Last place is Miami Dolphins. And the AFC North, in first place we have the Baltimore Ravens. Hoo-hoo! And that's it. None of the other teams, wow, have won in the AFC North. The only one is Baltimore. Cleveland lost, Pittsburgh lost, and Cincinnati lost. Wow, that's ugly. Okay, I know it's week one, but damn. Okay, the AFC South, we've got Tennessee Titans 1. And that's it. AFC West, Oakland 1. Oh, three first places. We got Oakland, Kansas City Chiefs, and Los Angeles Chargers. Hello, somebody. Raiders, Chiefs, and Chargers are all in first place in the AFC West. All right. Now, National Football Conference. In the NFC East, we've got Dallas Cowboys 1 and Philadelphia 1. So they're both in first place, huh? Yep, Dallas and Philadelphia. In the NFC North, we've got Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings in first place. And in the NFC South, we have New Orleans is holding down the NFC South. And in NFC West, we've got San Francisco 49ers, Los Angeles Rams, and Seattle Seahawks are all in first place. Okay, so those are your scores. Now, let me give you the schedule. Okay, so, oh, this was this past Sunday. You guys already got that. Okay, so I don't know what the schedule is for next week. Okay, so that's what's standing right now. All right. Well, y'all, oh, my goodness, how much time do I have left? Only 6 minutes. Do I have a short story? No, I don't. Well, I will tell you this. Go to the website, theessenceofsuccess.net. I'll do that. Go to the website, www.theessenceofsuccess.net, and look at the slideshow we've got on the main page this month for September. It's raining men. Oh, honey, your mouth is going to be slobbering. You might go pick up a toy. But anyway, check out our slideshow on the main page. And then also, we have a YouTube page, and I will have some things on there. But anyway, you can go to YouTube, Saturday Night Psychic. Saturday Night Psychic. And I have predictions for the month of September for the air signs, the water signs, the earth signs, and the fire signs. I also have for business predictions, weather predictions, what I saw coming up for the second half of the year. So just go on, it's different shows, different videos. So just go in there and check it out, because I did do business predictions and also weather predictions. And like I say, readings, and they were tarot card readings. Yeah, I did tarot for the month of September. And then also you want to check out too the weekly predictions. I don't know if I have time. What I saw for America and Europe, that one is up too, so you might want to go in there and check that out. I'll try and read a little bit of it right now. This is what I saw coming up for September, okay? Entertainment, heads will roll and projects will fail around the new moon. Gollywood, stop lying to folks about parts in a movie or TV. There will be a rise in minority producers and writers. American, Asian, and East Indian or India countries. Actors are now working more in Europe than ever before. Why? They are tired of the American bullshit regarding parts. Believe it or not, more fame than in America. With the rise of Netflix and Prime channels, more work for the unknown actors. It's a start. Stop selling your souls to get a part. What you do in the dark will come to the light. Can we say Jeffrey Epstein? All eyes are not closed. There will be 3 major deaths in Gollywood this September, possibly 2 females and 1 male. There will be major changes in the big movie studios. The little guy will finally get a break against the big dogs. Yippee, I'm happy for you guys. Okay. Politics, same old with Trump's. Although he has backed off from constantly sabotaging the presidency, there will be 3 shakeups this month. It must be a bitch working for someone you feel you always have to walk around like you're stepping on eggshells or lying for a motherfucker. You know for a fact he is lying. My prayers are with you, White House. Looks like it will be Biden and Sanders, the last 2 remaining in the running. Again, this election is all about women. Thank you, Mr. Trump. Women are no longer the silent minority. We have power, and we are going to use it all the way to the top. Pence, expect a surprise from Trump's about his running mate. You didn't learn to kiss his ass well enough. A major person in Congress will die before the end of the year. Brexit will pass finally, but not without just cause. Russian President Putin will be replaced in 2020. Okay. Let me see. Yeah, I can't do any more. But anyway, go to YouTube, like I said, and type in Saturday Night Psychic. You'll see my picture. And go to the weekly predictions for America and Europe, okay? And I am going to be doing a new business one. I'll probably do that tomorrow. So do go in and check, okay? Now, don't forget Friday. It's Friday Traffic Jams. Music, okay? I don't know what I'm going to do, but it'll be something jamming, okay? And Monday and Tuesday is psychic readings. We didn't do either show this week because I was sick. I had a very, very bad migraine headache for 2 days, so I didn't do the show. But anyway, we will be back. I will be back, hopefully, Monday and Tuesday. So do join us. Now, if no one's told you that they love you today, I do. And thank you for joining and supporting the show. All right. See y'all Friday at 6.